This is FM 100.5 and 101.9. AM 1450, Rutherford County's place to talk. WGNS, Murfreesboro, your good neighbor station. This is The Truman Show with Truman Jones. A look at the politics, news, sports, and people that are shaping Rutherford County. Now your host, Truman Jones.
Good afternoon, Rutherford County. Going to be another great day today. Absolutely beautiful outside, and I'm sure a lot of you are going to end up at MTSU tonight at 6 o'clock. They're going to have the big fish fry, and what else do they have out there, Brian? I know that there's...
Cajun gumbo,
yes.
Coach Stanford making that. It's a special recipe, and they'll have hot dogs for the kids.
Coon Victor will be out there meeting everybody as they come through the door.
I'm sure.
And you guys are going to be there. For what purpose?
We have always been over there to broadcast, talk to several of the folks, and see who's... it's kind of a who's who of Rutherford County, so we'll talk to some of those folks out there and do our normal sports talk. And we've got Dr. Russell McKissick from TOA coming in to talk about sports medicine. Mm-hmm. How important that is for our local athletes. So that's what we'll do from 6 until 8 tonight.
So what do you guys actually add to the program is what I'm asking.
We just go wherever there's food.
Oh, okay. So I know that you guys are known as the top analyst of sports in the Middle Tennessee area. Mm-hmm. I know you bring a world of experience there.
I'm glad, and
I really appreciate that you guys are going to be there, because I will be there, and it just adds a little extra oomph or whatever it is to the program.
I'm just glad I didn't listen to you and pick Tennessee this past weekend.
You were going to bring that up, weren't you? It's not a good year for Tennessee football at any level, it doesn't seem like. I had a terrible weekend. I'm still in some type of deep, dark depression because of it.
Mr. Bray will be missed.
Mr. Bray will be missed, and his thumb will be missed.
Yes.
And I'm very sorry. And want to let you know that part of the show, as it is brought to you by Blue Restaurant. And this portion of the show is brought to you by Blue Restaurant and Bar, located in the Jackson Heights Plaza. And they're open for lunch and dinner Monday through Friday, starting at 11 a.m. and Sunday brunch at 10 a.m. They have a 6-lunch choice for just $6. Blue Restaurant is also available for booking private parties and events by calling 410-3383, 410-3383. Enjoy their beautiful courtyard for lunch, dinner, or brunch, and catch the game on their big screen TV. It's a wonderful atmosphere for casual dining, watching sporting events, or enjoying baby grand piano music each Friday and Saturday nights starting at 6:30. See, there really is something for everyone at Blue Restaurant and Bar, located in the Jackson Heights Plaza. Be sure to visit their website at blue-restaurant.com. That's Blue Restaurant and Bar owners Marty Brown and Greg Pogue. And I have Mr. Chris Bratcher, one of my good friends, who's been in the city business for many, many years. He's vice mayor. And does that mean that you're in charge of all the vice in Murfreesboro?
I have been accused of that, but unless you have it on film, I plead innocent to all charges.
Now, you could not be involved in that. I've known you too much, because you came originally from the Westview area. I know I came from, it's not Double Springs, but Jakestown area.
Right.
And we kind of grew up in very similar atmospheres, and of course, you're a little bit younger than I am, but...
just a little bit, not much.
But I know that you've seen a lot of characters come out of Westview.
Absolutely. Absolutely. That's being very nice. There are some good characters in Westview. I'm very proud of Westview.
Now, I'm sure that you had some friends that you made while you were in Westview that have carried on throughout your whole life.
Oh, absolutely. You know, my mom and dad grew up, I grew up on Kings Highway. Mom and dad bought a house over there, I think, in 1955.
Wow.
And they lived there until my dad passed away in 86. Mm-hmm. And my mom sold the house, I think, in 87 or 88 or somewhere along in there. I can't remember exactly the year she sold it. But I was there, you know, I lived there for my whole life growing up, my whole childhood. And, of course, I went to McFadden School, as did my mom. Dad even went to McFadden School. And I'm the youngest of 7 kids.
Wow.
And all of us went to McFadden School.
Now, who was principal at McFadden when you went there?
Well, of course, when I went, I think Don Johnson was the principal.
Oh, okay.
So
I didn't realize Donnie was that old.
Yeah, Well, it's his dad.
Oh, okay.
His dad, Mr. Johnson.
Yeah, that didn't sit.
Yeah. But, you know, I've heard stories about, you know, Mr. Pittard being over there.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, Red Owens was over there for a while. And then I think Mr. Johnson. And then that's who I went out over there. And it was – McFadden was a great school. I mean, I just had so many great memories about going to McFadden School. We live right across the street from the school on Kings Highway. And of course, I tell people, I used to have to walk to school and back every day.
Now, we played you guys. Of course, you weren't playing back then when I was at Mitchell-Nielsen. And that was always a knockdown affair because it seemed like the kids over at McFadden were just a little bit more rambunctious than we were.
We had some rough edges. We knew how to take the punishment, if you will.
And you think about going into these venues when you're playing ball, and there's certain areas. I can remember people did not like to go to Kittrell at high school and play Kittrell at Kittrell. I mean, it was really a tough atmosphere. But all the county schools were that way.
Yeah.
But McFadden was already that way, even at that level.
Yeah. You know, and I know a lot of people can't relate, but back in those days when the elementary schools were, you know, first grade through eighth grade, it was there was no kindergarten when I was there. And every school had its own sports program, had their own football team and basketball team, typically. Mm-hmm. And there was a lot of rivalry between all the different city schools and all your different schools in the counties. And it was a great time for sports when you were young like that. Mm-hmm. I mean, we had a great time.
Now, do you remember Mr. Jim Averett living over in that?
Oh, yeah,
or
sure.
Was he? And he has told some of the best stories. And somewhere along the line, somebody from each generation or everyone has got to get together and write a book about that place, because I guarantee you they could make a great movie out of Westview.
Oh, yeah. And, of course, you and I mentioned it earlier about Woodrow Medlock.
Right.
was one of the prominent preachers that come from the Westview area. And my brother-in-law, my sister's married to Woody, Woodrow's son, Woody Medlock. And I heard a lot of stories from Woody and a lot of stories from Brother Medlock about Westview and all of the things that happened in Westview. And like you said, at the time, Westview was kind of the blue collar. You'd mentioned that the blue collar part of Murfreesboro, and it was pretty close to downtown. As a kid, I can recall that, you know, I could walk or ride a bike to downtown around the square. And my mom was a waitress when I was growing up at Don's Kitchen Corner on the square.
I remember that place.
And I'd go up to the restaurant when I was just a little kid and go in, and of course she'd feed me, and I'd get some tip money out of her pocket and go across the street to the Prince's Theater and watch a movie over the Prince's, and go over to McClellan's on the square and just look at the toys and wish that I could have a toy, you know, just those kind of memories, walking around the square back when the square was the main place to be in Murfreesboro. Those memories are great memories.
And let's see if you remember, like I did, when we all came from different backgrounds out in the county. I mean, I was on the east side in Jakestown, and I guess you would call each one of the areas had a different, if you look at it at a class level, as far as economics and things like that. We all had, I would say that we were middle to lower when we were growing up. But the thing that most people don't understand, and which I think is the most amazing thing about Murfreesboro and Rutherford County, is that when we all merged into Central High School from our 1 through 8 classes that we were at, there was no notice of that.
Right.
Once you went into Central High School, you're all playing on the same level, whether it be social or economic or whatever, because everybody just seemed to have an open arm for everybody, and we were all just like family once we merged into the high school level.
That's right. Yeah, you're right. Now, Truman, I'll probably tell my age. I never went to Central High School. I actually was during that transition period when they made Central a middle school.
Okay.
I went to the middle school there for 1 year, and then I went over to Riverdale.
Now, what year was that?
I don't know. It would be 72, 71.
Yeah, early 70s.
Early 70s is when they switched that. Because I went to McFadden my first through the 7th grade. Mm-hmm. Then my 8th grade, I went to Central Middle. So that would be the year they opened up Riverdale and Oakland High School.
Well, for some reason, I thought that you went to Central, too.
No.
But just, you don't look that old.
I just barely missed it.
Yeah. Well, you missed something great.
Yeah.
Because there was just something about Central that just was all-encompassing to everybody. And then once, and I'm certainly not going to knock the schools as they were coming along, like Oakland and Riverdale and all the schools that have come since then. But to me, I know that all Central High School graduates, it kind of broke their hearts when they made Central into a school that really didn't encompass all of Murfreesboro anymore.
Right.
And of course, we had outgrown it. We really had.
Well, it divided up the city. Obviously, you know, it had Oakland on one side and Riverdale on the other. But, you know, I think they have coming up is the Riverdale and Oakland game, the Battle of the Borough. It kind of created a really good rivalry between one side of Murfreesboro against the other. And that's been good. That's been healthy. Mm-hmm. It's been a lot of fun to watch Riverdale and Oakland mature through the years. And now, with the addition of the other high schools, I mean, Murfreesboro has – I mean, the growth that we've experienced over the last 20, 25 years has been phenomenal.
Yeah, it's been an interesting transformation, especially for all those that went to Central and watched the rivalry develop between Oakland and Riverdale. And then, of course, Smyrna's always been there and Laverne. But then the Blackman comes along and Siegel comes along. And you think, well, if you look at it in a sports way, every one of those schools is competitive inside and outside the league.
Right.
I mean, you look at it, and Murfreesboro is at the very top of football.
Right.
And basketball also. I mean,
I mean, with you know, you were talking earlier about, you know, Tennessee football has been a kind of a disappointment in general. Mm-hmm. But the high school level of football in Tennessee is unbelievably strong, and particularly in Middle Tennessee. Murfreesboro and Rutherford County in particular has got one of the best programs for football of any part of the country that I'm aware of.
Well, I guarantee you, if I was a coach anywhere in the country, I'd be coming into Murfreesboro and see where in the world all that great talent is.
Oh, I'd love to see some of our universities that are in Tennessee. Mm-hmm. I would be heavily recruiting from within Tennessee. I know a lot of them do, but Rutherford County has a wealth of talent right here in Murfreesboro and Rutherford County.
Do you think as you were going through high school, do you still feel like you were able to obtain the close touch or feeling, the family feeling, with all the other students that were going through the other schools? Or was there just kind of that major rivalry, whether it be sports or academics or whatever?
Well, you know, you kind of lose touch. Like you said, if you have one high school like you grew up and you were accustomed to having Central High School in Murfreesboro, you did feel, I think you would feel more of a home. You get to know everybody, and it's us against them.
Mm-hmm.
But when Riverdale and Oakland come along and kind of split the city up, or the county up, if you will, into two different schools, you kind of lose touch a little bit of that. But I think what you gain on the other side is you gain a great rivalry, and you have a great it's something about having your friends here you grew up with, and you're kind of against them in a sports rivalry.
Mm-hmm.
And that was a lot of fun, and we had that when I was, like I said, I went to Riverdale High School, and we had that with Oakland and had a great time. That's back when Mr. Jack Jolly, I think, was the coach at Oakland High School, and I played baseball at Riverdale, and Mr. Jolly was the coach, and we had a great rivalry with Oakland High School back then.
And he finally had the field named after him after all these years.
You know, I think it's been something that was so long overdue that Mr. Jolly contributed so much to baseball in Rutherford County. He touched so many lives with his he was such a knowledgeable, such a talented man that I can't describe what he meant to a lot of people in Murfreesboro, in particular baseball. He's a phenomenal man.
Yeah, I was talking to Jeff Hamlin the other day, and his group, baseball players, were the ones that were instrumental in making sure that happened. And unfortunately, Jack had a little bit of a setback, and he had to go to the hospital, but he missed the ceremony of where it would be in. But those players loved him so much that they made sure that they all went over to see Mr. Jolly, and I know how much that meant to him, because I talked to him sometime before that, and he was just so excited that. And the funny thing about it, I always thought, when I was thinking about him being so elated that he was finally being recognized, that, you know, he has always been recognized in our minds, because if you've been in this community any time at all, you've got to know Mr. Jolly and what all he's done for each kid in this community.
Absolutely. I never had the privilege of actually playing for him, but I did play third base at Riverdale. So I got to stand right beside him when he was coaching for Oakland. And, of course, he'd be in the coach's box on the third base side. And I got to stand within a few feet of Mr. Jolly and listen to him and watch him coach. And it was – I got some of the best memories I have of baseball is actually listening to Coach Jolly coach his team. It was so amazing, his knowledge and his talent. And he had a great sense of humor. And the way he coached, he would settle for nothing but the best out of his players, 110%. And he got it out of a lot of his players. He was such a phenomenal coach. It's amazing.
I played against him, and he sure could rile you up, I can tell you that. I was telling him that when I was visiting this last time. Now, you guys, I mean, what in the world made you decide to get into politics? I know you're already in business.
Well, you know, that's a story I probably haven't told a lot of people. Like I said, I am the youngest of seven children, and two of my older brothers were employed at the Murfreesboro Fire Department at the time. And that's my older brother Larry. You know Larry.
I played baseball with Larry.
You played baseball with Larry and my brother Jeff.
Okay.
And Jeff is still at the fire hall. He's been there for about 34 years now.
Oh, wow.
And so anyway, they back in the early or mid-80s, they were kind of having some difficulties with the fire department and the administration of the city, I was in my 20s, and they approached me and said, would you consider running for city council? And of course, at that time, I didn't know what city council was, didn't know what they did, didn't know who the mayor was. I was just busy trying to raise a family and working and doing a lot of things that you do when
Was that Joe B. Jackson as mayor back then?
Joe B. was the mayor. Mr. Clyde Fite was the city manager.
Yes, remember him well.
And so I said, well, I'll tell you what, guys. I said, I'll run if y'all will help me. Mm-hmm. And they said, well, we'll help you. And so I got my name on the ballot, and and I remember it very, very distinctly. When I got my name on the ballot, they called, and that's back when the cable TV had their office on the corner of Loki and Memorial. Mm-hmm. And they called and said, okay, you're on the ballot. We're going to have a debate or a political forum, if you will. And we want you to meet over here on certain night. And said, you have 5 minutes as an opening speech, and then we're going to ask you questions, and you got 5 minutes as a closing speech. Mm-hmm. I said, well, I'm going to quit. I'm not going to do that. I can't. Do you know how long 5 minutes is to talk about yourself? I can tell you everything I know in about 30 seconds.
Let me tell you something.
It scared the daylights out of me.
And people, if you've never run on a local level, it doesn't even compare to you get to the statewide and federal level. But it is one of the most stressful things that you can do is go around and talk about yourself, because it's not a normal thing to do.
No,
it really isn't. You don't go out and sell yourself every day.
And it scared me. I'll never forget that. And of course, I got through that. And back then, that's when the council was Roger Haley was a councilman.
Mm-hmm.
Mary Huda,
mm-hmm.
John Pittard,
mm-hmm.
Richard Reeves, and there was one more. Let's see.
That's a great bunch.
I think Mr. Scales was on there. T90.
Oh yes, yes he was.
So
yeah. I mean, that's almost the who's who of great statesmen right there.
Yeah.
I mean, Murfreesboro was so lucky to have those people.
You know, and a lot of people ask me, you know, in a lot of cities, you know, sometimes if you're born and raised and you grow up here in Murfreesboro, you're kind of in a bubble, and you don't realize what good elected officials that you've had through the years. And a lot of people in different cities ask me, why are they so successful? What have you done that's been right? You know. And I can look back and honestly say it's been the elected officials like Joe Jackson and John Pittard and Woody Robinson and some of those guys that I've served with, you know, Kevin Wax and the Scales family and you keep going on and on and on about good people. You know, and people talk about Republicans, they talk about Democrats. If you get good people that care about the community, that's the most important thing. The rest of it will take care of itself. You got to let good people.
And the good thing about it on the city level is you don't get into the politics. You're looking at the individual. You're not looking at what a party does or doesn't do.
We're not affiliated with the party.
Right. You're looking at the resume of that particular individual, and is he or she going to be the right person for the job? And that's what I really do like about the way you've got it set up in Murfreesboro.
Yeah, we've been blessed to have great people. I've served with so many great people who I've learned from. I've tried to learn from each and every one of them, and I've done that. This is my 24th year on the council, and mm-hmm. it's been a blessing. I've served with three different mayors, mm-hmm. three different city managers.
And every mayor has been top notch, and the city manager.
Absolutely, we had our city manager evaluation actually this morning at 10 a.m. And that was one of the things that I sat and reflected on is how lucky we are to have had the leadership in our city manager position, and for all these years, Mr. Fite done a great job in his role.
Oh, really?
And
he
course,
set the standard for everybody.
You know, back then it was just a part-time position, and we were just starting to grow in Murfreesboro. And then we realized that, hey, you know, our city is starting to grow. We need to look at having a full-time person to run the city of Murfreesboro. And, mm-hmm. and that's when Mr. Haley came along. And then, of course, Mr. Lyons now. But, unless you've had bad people in those top positions, mm-hmm. you really don't understand how important it is to have the leadership that the councils have with the mayor, Joe B. Jackson, of course, Richard Reeves, mm-hmm. and Tommy Bragg, and people like that. How lucky you are to have great leaders.
That must be a very difficult thing for you to do, to grade a person in his job at that level, because there he is working at the toughest level. He's having to manage all the tough problems that go on and make sure that Murfreesboro keeps growing in a positive way. When you look at somebody like that, like Rob, how do you go in knowing that the guy has been very successful? How do you grade him on all those different job chores that he has?
Well, you know, it's tough, and what's even tougher is being Rob Lyons.
Yeah,
I mean, you got seven.
He
bosses.
Is still employed. Isn't
He's
he?
Still employed. You know, can you imagine? You got seven people that your mm-hmm. boss. You answer to seven different people who have seven different outlooks on life.
Right.
Who look at things seven different ways, and you're gonna have to try to please all seven of them, and it's almost impossible to do. But he does a great job at doing. You know, and what I like about Rob is he meets with each one of us individually every year before the budget, and he goes, what can I do to make Murfreesboro the best? What is it that you, council member, or you, mayor, what can I do what is it that you want done in the next year? What's important issues that you want done? And he does that to every one of us, and he takes those issues that we all put down, and then he tries to take that forward. We all came to a consensus that safe neighborhoods was our number one goal this past year.
Good.
And because you know we and you being in law enforcement all the mm-hmm. years, you know how important that is to our mm-hmm. citizens. And so he carries out our wishes, and he has a tough job. I wouldn't want his job. I mean, he has about 1,000 employees that he has to deal with on a daily basis, all different departments, all different walks of life, and it's a challenge. And he does a great job at doing it.
You almost need a physician working with you the whole time that you're there to make sure that you're not overtaxing yourself, which is not an unusual thing in that job. Want to let you know that part of this job is this really a job?
It is part of your job.
Is it a chore? part of the show is brought to you by Pirtle and Howerton Automotive, 2006 North Main Street in Shevaville, Tennessee. And you can reach them at 1-800-264-6800, toll free. And if you're looking for a Ford, Mercury, Chevrolet, Buick, or GMC, take about a 20-minute drive down 231 South, and just before you get into downtown Shevaville, it's on your left, and it's quite easy to spot. Go in, talk to some of the nice people, or just stroll around through the lot. They're not very pushy at all, but I guarantee you they've got what you're looking for. And once you get started, I guarantee you that when you come back, you're going to be driving a new vehicle. And if you would like to reach them on the internet to give a little bit more information, pull up PirtleHowerton.com.
Self-storage has never been so convenient. Thanks to Zippy Shell, providing self-storage and moving solutions right to your front door. We deliver, you pack it, we pick it up and store it. Our units are secure, convenient, and best of all, they're just as affordable as traditional ones. Zippy Shell. Call us today for a free estimate.
Call locally owned Zippy Shell today. 216-7879. That's 216-7879.
Online only auction.
ReliantRealtyAuctions.com. Bidding is open until Tuesday at 7 p.m. on this 4,000 plus square foot custom executive home at 2263 Haddington Circle. Four bedroom suites, 4.5 bath with amenities galore, granite, tile, extensive trim, tons of hardwood. Bidding open until Tuesday at 7 p.m. at ReliantRealtyAuctions.com. Auctioneer Derek Gerstenslager.
ReliantRealtyAuctions.com.
Firm number 5638.
Hello, this is Jim Bryan at First Bank.
And I'm Chuck Lewis. First Bank presents Good Neighbor Events, news of what our local schools, churches, and community groups are doing.
A big weekend ahead. Good Neighbor Events brought to you by First Bank. The play Dracula continues at the Center for the Arts in Uptown Murfreesboro. For information, give them a call at 904-ARTS. And on Saturday, the Lineball Library has a group of local authors to tell you about their books and share some interesting experiences. That's 2 until 4 Saturday in the reading room at the Lineball Library. That's at 110 West Vine Street, right there at the corner of South Church Street. It's absolutely free. And this coming Saturday night at 6 o'clock, the Senior Ministry of First Baptist Church at 738 East Castle Street is sponsoring a fall gospel concert, Rejoicing in the Lord Through Songs. The musical guests include the Bingham Sisters, Deacon Albert Richardson, the Swanee Trumpeteers, and First Fruit. That's all at 6 o'clock this Saturday night at First Baptist Church on East Castle. It's a little over a week away, but you need to be aware that the second annual open house is coming up at the Juvenile Services Building. That's at 1710 South Church Street here in town. 4:30 until 6:30, Thursday afternoon, October the 20th. Juvenile Court Judge Donna Scott Davenport, along with Magistrates Keith Siskin and Adam Dodd, invite you to tour their facility. Again, that's Thursday afternoon, October the 20th, from 4:30 until 6:30 in the evening. And the Juvenile Justice Center is at 1710 South Church Street, across from the Honda dealer. By the way, we'll be welcoming Judge Davenport to the WGNS microphones as a regular guest in the Action Line starting next month. Good Neighbor Events, brought to you by First Bank.
Weather Eye.
Mainly cloudy this afternoon. Slight chance of seeing an isolated shower. High in the upper 70s. Tonight, cloudy. Chance of light rain. Low near 54. I'm WGNS meteorologist Laura Lockwood. Right now, it's 79 degrees.
That update brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Introducing Progressive's exclusive Snapshot Discount, a program that tracks your good driving and rewards it with discounts. Find out more at progressive.com today.
The Truman Show now continues on the voice of Rutherford County, WGNS AM and FM.
With today's guest, Murfreesboro Vice Mayor Chris Bratcher.
Sausage and biscuits, gravy and grits, home ground, homemade, it'll give you fits. Blueberry pancakes and corn cakes too, I'm a-licking my lips now, how about you?
And you're listening to John Blankenship and friends, including Avant Lane, Ken and Sarah Frizzell, Billy Yearwood. I was out there last Saturday morning and just really had a great time. Got to see a lot of my old buddies, enjoy the music. And it's from 8 a.m. to 1 p.m. every Saturday. And if you would love to go there, and you should, it take about a 10-15 minute drive down John Bragg Highway. It's on the left. You'll see the sign just before you get to Cripple Creek Road. Take about a 2-mile drive from there and go in, and you will go into 200 years of history. And Tom Brady redid the mill, and it is absolutely a gorgeous place. The Stones River circles around it, and you can go in. I love to watch the people who have been there only, this is their first time, and it's amazing to watch their eyes open up and take part in the history of that place. And it's absolutely a gorgeous setting. You can just relax, enjoy yourself, and get away from the hubbub that you're used to. And we're so very fortunate to have the readable meal in our community. Have you been there yet, Chris?
No, I have not.
You've got to go.
I know. I had someone, a friend of mine, said they went a couple weeks ago and was talking about what a great time they had. So I need to go out there and visit that.
People, you know, usually when you go to a restaurant or someplace like that, you'll go in, you'll dine, enjoy your food, and then leave. But you don't do that at the Readville Meal. I mean, you go in, you may walk around a little bit before you ever go in to eat or afterwards and enjoy your day. You could spend all day long there. And a lot of fishermen, I've seen them go around the meal on the other side, and they're some of the best fishing anywhere in Rutherford County. Well,
now you're talking, because I am a fisherman.
And you were also a boxer. And we kind of got ahead of ourselves. You used to box, and one of your trainers was James Clymer, right?
That's right. Mm-hmm.
And James was one of the best boxers during my era, because James grew up, he just loved to box, and he was in the Golden Gloves for as long as I can remember back when we were in school. How was he as a coach?
Well, he was probably as tough as a coach as he was as a boxer. He was really, you know, hard-nosed and tough, and, you know, he'd take on any challenge. And of course, when I was growing up, he was coaching over at the McFadden Community Center. Mm-hmm. And, of course, we'd have a lot of kids that would come in from the housing projects, and a lot of kids would just walk in and want a box. Mm-hmm. You know, hey, I want a box. And James would always throw them in the ring and just see what their metal was or what they was made out of, if you would. And there was a lot of tough kids over there.
You had to be tough if you fought for James.
Yeah.
And we were talking about James off the air. James had the reputation of being tough, but James was always one of the nicest guys around me. He was a good friend, and I always enjoyed him. And I tell you what, one thing about James, if he told you something, that's the way it was.
Absolutely.
And that would be a great coach for me, especially when you're talking about something like the Golden Gloves. Who was, and you were actually became a Golden Glove champion while you were there.
I did. I won the Golden Gloves for 3 years in a row.
Now, you would fight in what weight class were you in?
Well, I look back, and I think I ended up, my last year was about 121 pounds.
Mm-hmm. So you're pretty fast, probably.
Yeah. If I couldn't whoop you, I'd outrun you.
Now, how what level did you go in Golden Gloves? Because I remember they used to have even national champions back then.
Yeah, I didn't go anything. We would always fight in the Nashville arena. We'd go down to the Nashville Fairgrounds, and that's where they'd have all their weekly fights, and then they'd have the Golden Gloves tournament down there as well, and that's where we would fight our weekly fights at the fairgrounds, and then they would have the tournaments down there in Nashville, and I never went past. Now, I did fight. We fought one time in Alabama. Mm-hmm. We went down to Alabama and fought, but as far as going up that Golden Glove chain to the national title, or whatever, we didn't do that.
You feel like you gained a lot when you went through the Golden Gloves?
Yeah, you know, but as a kid growing up, it was very easy to in Westview and McFadden area to get in trouble if you didn't have some structure in your life and some things to do when you were growing up, and that I think that provided me with something to do. You know, as a kid growing up, I look forward to, I'd play in the community center all day or all night, and then when the community center closed, that's when they let us have it to practice boxing. We'd practice that after it closed, and so that kept me busy and give me something to look forward to on Saturday night to go down there in Nashville and fight. They'd bring people in from all the other cities around Nashville, and all back then all the reform schools, the Jordanias and Pikesville and TPS and all these reform schools that these kids were in, they'd bring all those in to the fairgrounds, and we'd fight those every week.
I bet they were tough.
My first fight that I ever went to was at Jordania, the reform school for kids, and I'll never forget it. I was just a young kid, and I went in, and of course James took the whole team in, and I remember locking the gate behind us, and we went in, and for some reason I just thought I was in a prison somewhere, and it just scared the daylights out of me, and it was an experience that I won't forget.
Well, you talk about going into tough places. I mean, you talk about football and basketball. You go in a place like that to box. I mean,
yeah, that's pretty crazy.
You're already intimidated every time you get through the door.
And my best friend was on the team, and he fought right before I did, and he just got the living daylights beat out of him right before I fought. So I was scared to death when I went in, and I think just being out of fear, I won my fight. But it was an experience that I won't forget as a young kid.
Okay, we need to put our ears on, Chris, because we have a phone call. Caller, welcome aboard with Chris Bratcher.
Yes, sir. I got three questions for you, and I'll just I'll just hang up and listen after I ask the question. How much is the city in debt, and what percentage of our budget is debt service, and will we ever see an overall plan to reduce the city's debt? And I appreciate your listening to me. Thank you very much. Bye-bye.
I think that's the first political question we've had since I've been on the show.
Wow. Well, you know, he asked some good questions, and I don't have those figures right in front of me, but if that caller will call me, I can give him. The city is in, you know, we just won an award for being one of the most financial managed cities in Tennessee,
mm-hmm.
and we've won that for several years in a row. Murfreesboro is in great shape as far as debt service.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, the city of Murfreesboro, we haven't raised taxes in almost 15 straight years.
Mm-hmm.
We've been very fortunate to have a lot of growth and very fortunate to have a lot of sales tax revenue in the city of Murfreesboro. So our debt, we still have a lot of capacity. There's a formula that they use that you can't have over a certain percentage of what you have on the books.
Mm-hmm.
Versus debt, excuse me, and we have a lot of room left in that capacity for us debt service. So if that caller will call me, and you can get my number off the internet, or I'll give it to you. My mobile number is 417-4067, and I'll be glad to get you those figures.
You are a brave guy giving out your mobile number.
It's already on the internet, so I can't hide it. It's on the website, and I've had my mobile number out for years. And you know, if I'm going to do this job, I feel like that people want to call me. I need to be accessible to the public, and I've always tried to remember. And you've been elected official for so long, Truman, you know what I'm talking mm-hmm. about. I've tried to always remember who I work for.
Yeah.
I work for the taxpayers and the citizens of Murfreesboro, mm-hmm. and I've been very blessed and very fortunate to be able to do that, and I appreciate all those who have supported me through the years and voted for me. I don't take that for granted. I take that very seriously.
I think that's great, too. I remember when I always had my phone number listed in the book, never took it off, and I agree with you. I mean, we're working directly for the people, and I was at that time, and I know that you've always taken that extremely serious. But the thing about Murfreesboro is that you have set the standard, and everything is in place for success. And Murfreesboro has never strayed from that. And I've always found, and everybody sees that. I mean, just recently it was released in the news that Amazon was coming here.
Right.
And all of that is a product of what you've already been able to set up and be so successful.
Absolutely. You know, we were thrilled to know that we've been working on this for quite some time. Mm-hmm. And Amazon, the state announced that Amazon, I don't think it's a completely signed, sealed deal yet, but mm-hmm. we're working on that. But what's been reported is Amazon is going to come to Murfreesboro. They're going to employ about 1,200, have about 1,200 new jobs. You know, and we've done things through the year, and I want to go back, and if I could, just mm-hmm. a second. You remember a few years back when we were trying to work with TDOT about putting some new interstate exits
right.
in Murfreesboro.
Right.
And the city of Murfreesboro had to come up with, it was several million dollars that we had to pay the state for them to come in and put those exits in, the one at Matson Pike, and then, of course, the one at Salem Highway. But, you know, we had a bunch of good leaders in Murfreesboro, and I'm not saying I'm one of them, but I'm saying we had a bunch of good people who had a lot of forward thinking. And to create the avenue and to mm-hmm. work with the hospital, to have that brand-new hospital out there on Medical Center Parkway. And, you know, it's an interesting statistic to know that I heard that the avenue, just the development out there on the avenue, Medical Center Parkway, not just the avenue, but everything on Medical Center Parkway, it creates one-third of all the sales tax of Rutherford County.
That's amazing.
Now, just
because you're not talking about that large of an area.
No, just think if we hadn't had to make that investment, if we hadn't have seen the vision to do that, you know, we almost got run out of town for doing that. Mm-hmm. If you recall, back then it was very controversial about the city of Murfreesboro going out there and buying, you know, 200 or 300 acres of land to develop this dream and this vision.
Well, it was great for the real estate people because every one of y'all had for sale signs in front of your house, remember?
That's right. And it was very difficult. I mean, we went through some trying times. And now to look back to think that it almost didn't happen.
Mm-hmm. Well, it had to happen, though, because what most people realize now is that Murfreesboro and Rutherford County are in competition with all the other counties around. And if you let them get a toehold in there, they're going to push you backwards. And right. Murfreesboro has never gone backwards.
Right.
And you know, it seems like it's all of Rutherford County now. You know, Smyrna has just absolutely exploded over there. And they've done such a good job. And it all goes back to us, all the people, citizens that live here. I'm very proud to live in Rutherford County.
I can't imagine living anywhere else than Murfreesboro or Rutherford County. And you're talking about Smyrna. On Sam Ridley Parkway, mm-hmm. I went down, I guess it was in the early 90s, and built that Shell station mm-hmm. on Sam Ridley Parkway right beside the hospital in mm-hmm. Smyrna. And to look back at the Sam Ridley Parkway now, and I was the very first business on Sam Ridley Parkway.
Wow.
And look back now at how that's progressed and all the businesses that are on Sam Ridley Parkway is just amazing.
And Smyrna and Murfreesboro, in a way, almost mirror each other mm-hmm. in the way they handle government and how they've been so successful. And you know, where else can you find that? I mean, it's almost like a comradeship between all the cities in the county.
Oh, it you know, I think back, you were talking earlier about when I first got elected back in the 80s. One of the memories I'll never forget that we went on a trip one time, and it was some kind of city function, and it was in Boston.
Mm-hmm.
And I go down and get on the airplane, and when I get on the airplane, I was a young man in my 20s, and I look around, and of course, there was Sam Ridley was on the plane, and all the elected officials from the local area. Mm-hmm. Bill Boner was the mayor of Nashville at that time. He was on the plane, and it's just weird to look back and see all those people who have shaped where we come from, and it was an interesting flight.
You don't mention Bill Boner in Kittrell. He picked our pocket from the state championship. Oh yes. Now tell me a little bit more about Amazon. What are we looking at if they come here as far as the business is concerned?
Well, they're going to be Amazon is obviously as an internet based company, mm-hmm. and they do a lot of a warehouse type mm-hmm. I guess they do a lot of shipping. They're similar to a UPS or a FedEx, mm-hmm. but they don't just ship. They sell products and they ship them all over the world. So, and I understand that there's another company that the Planning Commission is looking at right now. It's a building that's going to have, I think, about 1 million square feet under roof. Not Amazon, mm-hmm. another company. It's about 23 acres of building.
And it seems like one of the new areas that there seems to be a lot of growth, industrial growth, is Joe B. Jackson Parkway. Is there a possibility that we're looking at some more growth out that way? Because, I mean, it's been enormous.
You know, absolutely. You know, back when, in our younger years, you know, the industrial part of Murfreesboro was out on Butler Drive. It used to be the mm-hmm. Butler Drive where they used to make the box cars. And that was kind of the industrial park, if you will, the new industrial park of Murfreesboro. Well, now that's in town.
Mm-hmm.
And so we created the industrial park out at Joe B. Jackson, and that seems like that's where a lot of different industries have began to locate, because, you know, 24 is a great hub to Nashville with all the interstate exits and different directions with 840, and that'll mm-hmm. be completed soon. And so it seems like that's where the industrial people are all flocking to the Joe B. Jackson exit.
Are we looking at more of like Rutherford Boulevard, Joe B. Jackson, of those streets going completely around Murfreesboro and meeting, just making an exact circle?
Well, obviously we're always working on the new Veterans Parkway that's going mm-hmm. to loop around Murfreesboro and Rutherford County. It's going mm-hmm. to be kind of like the Northfield Rutherford Boulevard loop of years past. We're going forward with that. If you've driven that, you'll see that it's opened mm-hmm. up on the west side of Murfreesboro, mm-hmm. From Burnt Knob all the way over past 99 and coming toward the 231 Shelbyville Highway, and then it's going to kind of zigzag a little bit and pick up on County Farm Road and go over to Joe B. Jackson. So,
have you been looking at maybe a projection of what the population in Murfreesboro is going to be in, say, in the next 5 to 10 years?
We have some numbers, and I can't throw those numbers off the top of my head, but it's you know, we're still growing. People talk about the growth has stopped. Well, it hasn't stopped. We're still growing. I know Murfreesboro. I'm on the Murfreesboro Electric Board of Directors, mm-hmm. and we still get 200 or 300 new customers a month if you will. Mm-hmm. And those are new customers. These are not just people moving around. These are brand new customers. So the growth is still here, but it's not like we're accustomed to.
It seems like that we're getting a lot of businesses that are have moved away from the square. But still, the square seems to still maintain its integrity. You still have a number of businesses that are still there. You have the restaurants and things like that. Is that part of the future planning is to make sure that the downtown area stays solvent?
Yeah, that's a great point. You know, when a big company comes to Murfreesboro and they're mm-hmm. shopping Murfreesboro against other cities, and like you mentioned earlier, we're in competition with you know Wilson County and mm-hmm. Nashville and other cities around Middle Tennessee. And when they come in to shop, one of the things that they'll go is they'll want to go look at your downtown. They want to see how vibrant and how alive and what kind of planning you've done with your downtown area, because that's the heart of Murfreesboro. Our square and the businesses around town. If they see abandoned buildings and it's dead downtown, that sends a message to them that you've got problems, you've got issues. And in Murfreesboro, you don't see that. We have a very vibrant downtown.
Do you see things changing a whole lot? And I personally see it when the school is MTSU is in session. You see a lot of changes in traffic when they're here, and I know you do everything in the world you can to make sure that everybody's still able to maintain a steady flow. I know that presents problems because here we're looking at something like 27,000 students that are going there.
Yeah, that's you know, you look at those numbers, that's bigger than a lot of cities in Tennessee. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden, you've got that many students who are coming in, and a lot of them are freshmen. Mm-hmm. So a lot of them are brand new. They've never been to Murfreesboro. And so they're having to learn our traffic patterns and what to do. And our people who are here, they have a lot of patience with that. And I know it's difficult sometimes, but they do have a lot of patience. And it's a challenge for our police department. It's a challenge for our residents. But they bring a lot of revenue to the city of Murfreesboro.
We're going to have to take a quick break. And I want to let you know that part of the show is brought to you by At Home Care. And that's at 237 Castlewood Drive, Suite H. It's right behind the Kroger on Memorial Boulevard. And if you would like to call them, it's at 713-4639. Or check them out on the internet, www.athomecaretennessee.com. And what they do is they'll go into your home if you're having problems taking care of your normal chores and finding it's very difficult to stay in your home. They'll go in and make sure that you're still able to maintain the quality of life that you're used to. And 24/7, if you need them, they're going to be there, and they're going to make sure that you're able to spend your time in a more successful way than what you have in the past. And if you have a mother or father or grandparents who are having problems, give them a call. It's at 713-4639.
Hi, I'm Don Patterson, an internal medicine physician with Middle Tennessee Medical Group, a new multi-specialty office dedicated to the health and well-being of you and your family. Our physicians provide expertise in family and internal medicine, as well as other specialties. Middle Tennessee Medical Group offers two locations in Murfreesboro for your convenience. To make an appointment with a Middle Tennessee Medical Group physician, call 396-6800 or visit middletnmedicalgroup.com.
Murfreesboro Medical Clinic is more than just a clinic. It's the doctors you can trust, a technician you can believe in, and a staff member who goes the extra mile. From the time someone walks in our doors, the difference becomes evident. All of our resources are used to improve the healthcare experience of our patients, and we have been a part of Rutherford and surrounding counties for over 60 years. Murfreesboro Medical Clinic.
Murfreesboro Medical Clinic.
The local conversation continues now on The Truman Show. Once again, here's Truman Jones.
And we're back with Chris Bratcher. As a city councilman and vice mayor, what are you guys looking for in the future as far as some of the main issues that you're going to have to tackle?
Well, you know, we want to make sure that our top priorities has always been safe, livable mm-hmm. neighborhoods. And we want to make sure that we maintain.
Without safety, you have nothing.
I think that's, you know, when you talk to the citizens of Murfreesboro, they want to make sure they feel safe in their neighborhoods. Mm-hmm. And you've been in law enforcement for many years. You know how important that is. And you've done a great job at doing that. I want to commend you on that. We want to make sure that we have great education. You know, safe neighborhoods, great education, and those, if you have those two, most of your citizens have great recreation. Murfreesboro's got a great town for recreation. Mm-hmm. Our new soccer fields,
right.
our new water park at the SportsCom, mm-hmm. you know, of course, the Patterson Center and all those things. We want to make sure that we give as much back to our citizens for their tax dollars as we can.
You know, one of the things, Murfreesboro is an old city.
Mm-hmm.
It really is. And you look in the downtown area as the houses get older and in the streets. But it's amazing to me how your guys are able to keep up with it and keep the streets in great repair without a whole lot of missed traffic flow. I was on Manny Avenue the mm-hmm. other day, and it's amazing how much work has gone on over there, and it was much needed. But you guys, I mean, you don't let things erode to the point where it's very difficult for people. You keep things going.
Well, you know, if we've, you know, looked at other cities, and you see where other cities have had problems is when they kind of neglect a certain area of town, and we looked at Manny Avenue area. If you've ridden down Manny Avenue, you've seen the new sidewalks, the new light posts that we put up, the brick pavers along the street. This is going to bring a new atmosphere to the Manny Avenue corridor. And our next step is I've met with our city manager and Mayor Bragg, is we want to make sure that we don't let Broad Street deteriorate or be a secondary commercial area like some cities have. You've seen mm-hmm. older cities mm-hmm. where some of their old commercial areas have kind of went down and they kind of forgot about them. Broad Street has always been our jewel. And I want to make sure that we maintain the integrity of Broad Street. We're going forward with a plan to try to revitalize Broad Street as well.
That's the first four-lane highway in Murfreesboro.
Yep.
And maybe the first four-lane highway in Rutherford County. And you're right, it's still vibrant. There is still a lot going on Broad Street, and it's still very accessible and easy to go to. And it seems like the large arteries that feed it, they really don't cause a whole lot of problems.
No. You know, you can remember not too many years ago when Church Street or 231 South was just a two-lane road.
Right.
It hasn't been that long ago. Mm-hmm. And now it's got, I mean, it's probably got 60,000 cars a day on Church Street. I mean, the growth out there has been phenomenal. And I know they're fixing to pave Church Street, so that's going to cause some problems. And Old Fort Parkway is being paved; that's going to cause some problems. But you know, that's just part of the deal. That those are state projects, obviously, but they'll be nice when they get them completed.
But it's always well worth it, and it doesn't seem like there's a traffic snarl as much here as it is in other areas. Even though the traffic flow here has just as much volume as other places.
Well, you know, you're always going to have some traffic. Snarls or backups during peak hours,
mm-hmm.
you know. You don't design your roads to not have traffic problems during peak hours, because mm-hmm. you would overbuild them if you did. There's going to be certain times of rush hour where you're going to have some issues, but they're not really bad.
But you guys, when you build a new road or widen a new road, you're not building it just for right now. You're building it for 5 or 10 years in the future, and I think that's one of the areas that a lot of people. Everybody gets aggravated a little bit when they get behind where they have road construction signs and one lane or two lanes is going to be blocked. But if you look at it in the big picture, you know, it has to be done. And then once it's done, you don't really think a whole lot about it, but you're so lucky to be able to travel on these real nice roads that cause you very little problem.
Well, when Veterans Parkway is completed and there's a new interstate exit on I-24, you'll get off at the Veterans Parkway exit on 24
mm-hmm.
and be able to loop all the way around Rutherford County on the west and the south side. It's going to cut off, because a lot of our growth is the west and south of Murfreesboro. That's where a lot of our latest growth has been. And so you'll see a tremendous lot of growth along that Veterans Parkway, commercially and residentially.
Is there an estimation of completion on those dates?
Well, of course, now the interstate exchange is probably going to be, it's another probably 15 years out.
Oh, really?
Yeah, but the parkway itself, it'll be completed here pretty soon.
Well, I don't mind leaving it when I'm gone and letting everybody else have a great little highway out there. I mean, it is pretty neat.
We're looking for a new park. Obviously, the city of Murfreesboro is on the west side of town. We want to kind of do something like we did the Barfield Crescent Park. We want to do that on the west side of town. Obviously, we had some issues with the VA golf course. You recall seeing that not too long ago, so we're going to try to look at it, maybe doing a new golf course out that way, a beginner golf course, if you will, something kind of like
that,
the VA.
That won't be on the VA property, though.
No, we're going to probably get away from the VA property in the future.
You know, I used to play golf when I was just a kid out there in the VA hospital, and it was neat. I mean, it's one of the nicest environments. I mean, it's so scenic out there.
I'm sure the VA will probably keep that course, and we have been begging them for the last – I've been on the council for 24 years, and we've been negotiating for 24 years with the federal government, with them try to allow us to give us a long-term lease so we could go out there and make some investments in that property and build some buildings and spend some money. But we're afraid to spend any money of any kind of significance if it's on property that we don't have any control over.
Yeah, I can understand that. And of course, but the VA hospital has been such a great thing for us to have.
Absolutely.
Here.
It's been a great asset.
And especially when you know it's going for a great cause, for our veterans. There is nothing, and I'm so happy that they're going to try to put the Fisher House out there, and that's going to be a really great project.
You know, that's why we named the new parkway the Veterans Parkway. And I know in the future that the mayor and council is going to look at putting a Veterans Park out somewhere on the Veterans Parkway. We're going to buy a small tract of land. We're going to put some monuments to our local veterans, those who have served and died for our causes.
Great. Couldn't be a better project. Chris, I enjoyed it.
True.
You've been a great guest. It's always fun to be with you.
I've had a great time. I appreciate you having me come up here and share some memories with you.
Anything you want to say to anybody before you leave?
I'm just glad to be here.
And so am I. I'm always just glad to be here.
Kind of mini pearl. I'm just glad to be here.
And I'll probably see you tonight at 6 o'clock out at MTSU near the livestock barn. And this is for the MTSU baseball, Steve Peterson.
Is that right?
They'll have an auction, have great food, have entertainment. And you will get to see Brian out there, and he will be emceeing all the festivities that are going out there. And if you want to see Brian Barrett in person, be sure that you're there between 6 o'clock and whenever. I'm going to stay till the place closes and try to meet all of you and all of my friends that I've got to know all these years. And, Brian, it's yours, big boy.